Good morning, everyone. Thank you so very much for the opportunity to visit with you today and to bring with you a few ideas from the Scripture of the Word of God. Thank you for your time. The Bible is it which will judge us at the last day. And Jesus talked about that word that will judge us at the last day when he said in John 12, verses 48 and 49, "If you reject me and receive not my word, you have one that judgeth you. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day. For the words are not my own, but my Father's words which he gave me to give to you." John 12, verses 48 and 49. These are the Father's words that Jesus came with, and he was teaching the Father's words to the people in his day and time. He chose the 12 apostles in order for them to go on and carry out that message toward others, telling them that he would not always be with them in the person, but he would always be with them by way of the Spirit of God, who would guide them into all truth. In John chapter 16, notice in chapters 14, 15, and 16 of John, he talks about the work of the Holy Spirit guiding them after he had gone back toward heaven itself. And as they were guided by the Word of God to teach the people how to live and how to behave. It's a joy to see those words and a joy to understand that's the meaning of those words, because Jesus taught about it while he was here on this earth. Jesus taught about faith. In John chapter 8 at verse 24, "You must believe that I am he, or you will die in your sins." You'll notice that Jesus there was speaking in regard to himself and his coming to represent the Heavenly Father, and people's faith in him would be supremely important. In repentance of Luke chapter 13 in verses 3 and 5, he said, "I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Repentance was necessary to avoid perishing in those sins and wrongdoings. It was important to believe and to repent. In Matthew chapter 10 at verse 32, Jesus said that you will confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father who is in heaven. If you deny me before men, him will I deny before the Father who is in heaven. Notice that by faith in the Lord, repentance of sin and confession of the Lord were necessary in order for him to confess us to the Father who is in heaven. And before he left this earth, he gave the disciples a great commission. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, he said, "You go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned." You'll notice in this regard that he involves baptism in the salvation plan. Some people would deny that. They'll frankly say, "Oh no, he didn't say believe not and baptize not." But in Hebrews chapter 11 at verse 6, it is said, "Without faith it is impossible to please God." And thus in Hebrews 11 at verse 6, it tells us very plainly that without that faith, we cannot be people who are baptized in a right way at all, because we cannot please God any other way. Let us be people who believe in the Lord and put into practice what he says. And that's what he said there in Mark 16, 15, and 16. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned." You'll notice in this regard that he said that you must believe that I am he, or you will die in your sins, back there in John 8. And so it is the case that now, believing in the Lord, we need to be baptized into Christ Jesus. Paul wrote about that baptism into Christ in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. And we've done studies about this over the last several weeks of time, in which he says to the people, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that have died to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were buried with him by baptism into his death? And that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also are raised to walk in newness of life." He goes on to say in Romans 6 and verse 18, "But God be thanked, yet ye were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you, being then made free from sin. Ye became the servants of righteousness." I want you to notice in Romans 6 and 18, "Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." When did they become servants of doing what was right and pleasing to God? When they were people who obeyed the Lord. And when they obeyed the Lord in that form of doctrine delivered to them, what form is listed there in Romans chapter 6? Is it not the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus from the dead? Is that not the form that he listed there? He listed that because they needed to continue to be faithful to the Lord and follow his way. And that's what he asked them. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? They were not living in sin as they obeyed the Lord. And as they were baptized into the death of Christ, they were raised to walk, he says, in newness of life. And thus in Romans 6 and 18, when he says this further, he says, "God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." You'll notice that that is important to God and important to the Lord. And he commanded the disciples to do that. Have you done that? Have you simply obeyed the Lord? Oh, I know that church orders and church mannerisms deny that that has anything to do with salvation. But in Paul's words of Romans 6, how is it explained? How is it done away with? How in the world do we deny it when Paul says, "This was the form of doctrine delivered you, being then made free from sin. You became the servants of righteousness." Some people appeal to the fact that when Saul of Tarsus, was met on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, that in fact he was there saved on that road to Damascus. But you'll notice in the text that is given there that he was told by the Lord himself, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." When he asked, "Who art thou, Lord?" he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." And notice in this connection that he says the following to him, "Go into the city, and there you will be told what you must do." He was not told on the road to Damascus that he was saved. He was told to go into the city, and there you will be told what you must do. That's the message that he was to be told. And thus, when he went into the city, what did Ananias come to him and tell him? Ananias, the gospel preacher, was approached by the Lord from heaven, telling him to go there and find this man named Saul of Tarsus. He had heard of him, a man who was hurting people who were serving Jesus Christ, and he was fearful of him. But he was reassured by the Lord, "Go there and tell him, teach him the gospel message." Ananias came to him, and he saw a man who was pitiful, who was in prayer. He was a man who was just not satisfied with where he was, and no doubt he was asking the Lord, "What shall I now do? What shall I do?" And the answer to him came from Ananias, the gospel preacher, when he said, "Brother Saul, fellow Jewish brother, not a brother in the Lord," because he still had his sins with him. He still had his sins on him. He was still guilty of the sins that he had been committing. And thus he said, "What shall you have me to do? Go into the city and there be told what you must do." This man went into the city. Ananias came to him in that city and said, "Brother Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." He called upon the name of the Lord when he did what? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Still had his sins with him. He didn't have them free. He wasn't free from them on the road to Damascus. To the contrary, he went in the city, and there being told what he must do, he responded to it immediately. And that's what he says there in Romans 6. When he was taught the gospel, he responded to it. How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? Notice he includes himself among the people there at Rome and uses the word of plural pronouns in reference to his work. He used a reference to us and our and so forth in demonstrating that he obeyed the gospel just like they obeyed the gospel. And we became servants of God because of that. That's the way of life that you and I should follow even today. We're at a point in time in our studies over the last 8-9 weeks of time of our studies in which we have opportunity to look at the full picture of it now. We see our idea of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning verse 6. In reference to that matter in John chapter 8, Jesus says, "You must believe that I am He, or you will die in your sins." That faith is important. Going on to repent of one's sins, turn away from sin, he says to do in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, or you will die in your sins. You can turn away from your sins. And then, upon turning away from sins, confess your faith in Christ. Confess that He is the Lord, that He is the Master, that He is the right way. And if you confess me before men, Jesus said, I'll confess you before the Father who is in heaven. Read there in Matthew 10 at 32. And notice in this regard that he tells them, I go into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature. I'm still preaching that message even today. I'm telling you the same message that he asked to be preached by those apostles. That message was to tell people what to do to be saved from their sins. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth shall be saved and then later can be baptized? No, that's not what Jesus said. That's not what he noted. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, 15 and 16. You'll notice in this connection the importance of obeying the Lord, and following His way is the righteous way of the Lord. When we do this, we'll find opportunity to be all that God would have us to be. He'll continue to be with us. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3 that he was made righteous not by his own merit, not by his own deeds, but by the righteousness that is of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. It is the case that he was made righteous and that he was made righteous because he obeyed the Lord and followed his way. He was not made righteous because he did anything of his own accord, of his own decision making, but he did what the Lord asked of him to do. And that's exactly what Paul describes there in Philippians chapter 3 in reference to the brethren at Philippi. We find ourselves in the newness of life, and we find ourselves blessed of the Lord to go about doing the work of the Lord from day to day. When we study these particular matters, someone says, well, that's just the Church of Christ doctrine. No, no. That's not the Church of Christ doctrine. That's not my doctrine. That's not my doctrine at all. But it's the doctrine of the Lord taught by churches of Christ throughout all the ages of time. We're reading about that in the book of Romans, and we're reading about that in the book of 1 Corinthians in reference to the time of one's baptism into Christ, beginning a new way of life, he describes there in Romans chapter 6. And in 1 Corinthians, in reference to their new way of life, he talks about that new way of life and hope that they have for eternity with God in Christ Jesus. They find that blessing to come about for them. Will you find that blessing to be your blessing as you go about the day of the judgment? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, notice in this connection we read about their reference to their accountability before God. It says, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 10. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body according that we have done, whether it be good or whether it be bad or evil. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now what's he trying to persuade them to do? Paul writing to the brethren at Corinth is telling them, we're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. we're going to be judged according to the things that we've done, whether they be good or bad. Notice he says in that connection that they found themselves in a privilege and a wonderful blessing when they were baptized into Christ and made new in His service. And as they did that, they had opportunity to be brand new in the sight of God. They had opportunity to be new in the Lord. And they had opportunity to be free from the churches of men. The churches of men have an idea in mind. They have an idea in mind that Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, where he was actually told, go in the city and there be told what you must do. Is that not the words of Acts chapter 9? Is that not the words and testimony of the message? Check it out. Read it for yourself. My family and all of our family went to the Bible to see what the Word of God says about the subject. And once we see what the Word of God says, we want to do what the Lord said do, not what man says do. Man will say these prayers, say these words. And notice that in connection with that, we have a real hope and we have a real salvation and we can be free from sin. No, it's not because of what we say about it. It's because of what we do in obedience to the Lord's commands and Lord's teachings. When we find ourselves being that kind of person in life and all that God would have us to be, no doubt the idea that you read there in 2 Corinthians 5 at verses 10 and following are true. We will appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done while in the body according that we have done, whether they be good or whether they be evil. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Have I persuaded you today to be baptized into Christ to begin that new way of life? I trust that the Word of God has persuaded you, that you have found that Word of God to be so important in your heart and in your life that you want to begin that new way of life, that new way of doing things, that new way of being. Is that not what Paul wrote to the brethren at Rome in Romans 6? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? When did they die to sin? And when were they buried in water for the remission of their sins? When were they buried with the Lord in that death and raised to walk in newness of life? When? Was it when they believed? Was it when they confessed their faith in the Lord? Was it when they said a word of prayer about save us right now? Or was it when they obeyed that gospel message of Romans 6 describing there their baptism into the death of Christ and being raised to walk in newness of life? What is the Lord's work in our lives following our baptism into Christ? The Lord's work in our lives is to guide us and to care for us. And by way of the Holy Spirit guiding those apostles, He guided them to teach and to tell the message of the Lord, but He also guided them to be the kind of people that they ought to be. In Romans, in reference to this matter, He continued on the idea. In Romans chapter 8 and following, He says regarding this Holy Spirit of God that He will abide with them and that they would be able to be guided into the truth and teach the truth and obey the truth and be the people that God would have them to be. Will He not help you and me to follow His Word? And as we read along in the Scripture, the things that we're to do and be in James chapter 1, and verses 26 and 27, he says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. What are we to do? We're to practice a pure religion. And that pure religion is a pure religion of anticipation of what God has told us to be and do. That's the message that He's taught us. And that's the message we want to do. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows, to care for. The word visit means to care for. To care for the fatherless and widows in their affliction. And to keep oneself unspotted from the world. We're not to go back to the ways of the world, the words of the world, the mannerisms of the world, the actions of the world. We're not to be back there. We're to be people who continue on faithfully following the way of the Lord. And when we do, we'll have the opportunity to be all that we can be. We'll have the opportunity to teach others the gospel message. We'll have opportunity to tell others not what we believe, not what we teach them to do, not what we want them to do for salvation, but what the Lord himself has taught, what the apostles themselves taught. And now we have opportunity to teach the gospel to others round about us in the righteous way that we should. That's the way of God. That's the way he said to do. And I know that as we have a lot of church orders and a lot of church preachers and a lot of teaching that's done, that's illustrated from certain verses of the Bible and from certain ways of the Scripture. No, but not from all of the Scripture. From all the Scripture, he tells them, wait there, go into the city, and there you'll be told what you must do. When Ananias got to him in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, what did he say? Why tarriest thou? Arise, go be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. What did he do to get rid of his sins? He still had them. What did he do to get rid of them? He arose and went to be baptized for the remission of his sins, for the forgiveness of his sins. The Lord recognized what he had done and forgave him of his sins. That's what he's saying there in Romans chapter 6, that he had done just like the brethren at Rome when we were raised to walk in newness of life. For if we've been created in the newness of life, we shall be also in the likeness of this. He describes how that they were, that would happen, a way of life that was joyful, a way of life that was in peace, a way of life that was true and accurate. This is the way of life that he tells them that they should follow. A way of life he tells them they should do. A way of life that he tells them they should honor all the time. When we have that message to be taught, it's not our message. It's not our teaching. It's not our way. It's the Lord's way that he has taught us, and that we can cite them in the Scripture in the verses that are used to say this is what they were told to do. In the New Testament times, this is what we're told continued to do down the stream of time as well. That's the new way of life that he taught them to live and to behave. We thank you for your time today. Remember that I'm the vocal preacher for the Crockett Church of Christ, located 7 miles from the Interstate 55, due west toward the Tunica side, on the left side of the road as you come out of Senatobia on Highway 4. You'll see that the Crockett congregation, about 7 miles away from the interstate, about 6 miles away from the town of Senatobia, is right there on the left, and the opportunity to visit there is afforded to you. On Sunday mornings at 9:30, Bible classes are studied for all ages. 10:30, we have preaching service and the worship of the Lord together. And notice, in connection with this, we're reminded of the body and the blood of Christ in the Lord's Supper, as to what he did for us in the body that was broken and the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. And we talk about that. And we talk about that in length. And we enjoy that way of life. We follow up on Sunday night at 6 o'clock. For those who could not attend on Sunday morning, could not be with us, could not be a part of that Lord's Supper time then, the opportunity for them to do so on Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. And Wednesday nights right now we're doing at 7 o'clock. And we meet together and we sit ourselves in such a way that we are far apart, we're social distance apart, and we're trying to honor that. And we ask of people, if you've been around people who have found themselves in this COVID stuff, that you will find yourself avoiding that way. And we'll find ourselves avoiding one another in that way too, in order to avoid that particular illness in our day and time. So come and be with us if you can at the Crockett congregation, Sunday mornings, 9:30, 10:30, and 6 o'clock in the evening time as well. Wednesday night's Bible class is at 7 p.m. We invite you to be a part of it with us. The studies that we've done over the last several weeks of time have been studies about the Word of God, about how important it is to be obedient to the Lord's will, how that the Lord's will involved faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ to begin a new walk of life. We describe that time of life, and we describe that way of life because it's important for us to know. And that way of life is illustrated right there in the Scripture in Romans chapter 6, for example, in regard to this matter. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 and following, he says, regarding those who are baptized into Christ, they put on Christ. They put on Christ. He is a garment that they wear, a spiritual garment of their lives, and we have a wonderful blessing to have Christ on our lives as we follow His will and do His way. We remind you of our services, and we want you to come and visit with us whenever you possibly can. Look forward to seeing you next week, visiting with you next week, and doing further studies about the Scripture as we go on further. We'll talk about the work of the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit of God and how we're people who honor His way and follow His will within our daily walk of life. That way is a way that's very important, and we look forward to the presentations at that time. Some people today want to look at a message of a prayer that is said. Some want to state certain words that are said, and they are assured that they're saved from sin. Some want to be people who follow those ways that man has made and that the ideals of man has made instead of the word of the Lord that's spoken and the word of the Lord that's been said and the word of the Lord that we can obey and be people of the Lord as we follow His will. Thank you for your time once again. This is Robert Rawson.